little bit ago, we unfortunately had to do the Bray Wyatt tribute podcast. A little bit later, we had to do the CM Punk is Fired podcast. That's two of our three-headed monster here on the podcast. For those that have listened since the beginning, there's been three figures that continuously pop up, even when we kind of want to be done talking about them. CM Punk, Bray Wyatt, and Vince McMahon. Well, I'm pretty sure it was during the CM Punk episode, the last one, that I said, we need something to happen to Vince now. Well, with all this Endeavor news, lo and behold, Vinnie Max brought up. And, would you be shocked if I told you he might be out of the company again?
Kind of, because I feel like the whole reason he sold the company was to get back into it. That was like the whole...
That's what everyone said.
That was the whole goal.
But yeah, he was having, I'm sure in some way, they were illegal dinners, essentially selling the company. Hmm. Even though he said it was to get the TV deal, right? And apparently recently, at an all-hands-on-deck meeting, he said that WWE had grown stagnant, it grown stale, and he sold it to give it that little bit of oomph, which would be a little believable if even after the pandemic, WWE was doing pretty good, and then in some instances, record numbers. That's stagnant, you know.
Yeah. Plateaued, I think is the word he used.
Plateaued, yes, yes. And I read that there was a lot of eye rolling to be had. I wouldn't doubt if some came from Triple H himself. Because you figure, right, the only way in Vince's eyes that it plateaued is because he wasn't the one running it.
Right.
Because that stupid, dumbass son-in-law who used to run around, you know, doing crotch chops and, you know, kissing his daughter and... You know, being a mid-card wrestler, he was running the show, so of course it's stagnant, it's stale. Of course, this all came after the it was official, McMahon's no longer owned WWE, Titan Sports, Capital Sports, whatever you want to call it. They had the death grip on it for years. We talked about how we never thought a McMahon wouldn't be in power. Like, even with Triple H, we thought, you know, Stephanie would always be there, Vince wouldn't allow Trips to run it on his own, or Shane would come at something. And then, like we said, he sold it. I told you before this, I think Dana White's pissed that they combined. He's done at least 2 to 3 interviews talking about how he doesn't want there to be any crossover. Oh, it's fake wrestling. People that watch fake wrestling don't watch UFC. Come on. Why would they do that? Not like UFC's more fixed than WWE ever could be. Not like UFC has worse drug scandals than WWE. Talking to you, John Jones. And I mean, I'm not going to say some of the things that some of the UFC fighters have said at press conferences and interviews, but... I think if a WWE superstar said that, there's a chance to get fired or suspended. And I know people are going to disagree with me here, but there's that one group Jackson Ryker was with, and that tanked when it turned out he was a Trump guy. So take that for what you will. But Dana White's not happy about it. I don't really think there's going to be any crossover. I mean... At most, Brock, but Brock's old now.
I think the only people that would want crossover would be on WWE's side. Like, they would want somebody from UFC to come over. Dana White's obviously one of those UFC dude bros. Like, you know those guys, like when ESPN or somebody like makes a post about wrestling, I was like, oh, this was a sports account.
And speaking of that, it's fun. I saw a great comparison, or not comparison, but with them being under that TKO umbrella now, right? WWE's getting called a combat sport quite a bit. which is just hilarious because for how long did Vince jam it down our throats that it's sports entertainment, it's not wrestling. Like, it's not, you know, a sport. Sports entertainment, everyone. It's fake. Scripted. And that's a combat sport. Dana White just got to deal with it. Dana White's got to deal with the fact that title changed. But he said he's not upset. Why would you be upset? I mean, the man doesn't really do anything, does he? What my understanding, which correct me if I'm wrong, he was kind of just the face. He didn't really control anything. He's just the one so that way people could be like, oh, he runs the company.
Ooh, Dana White?
Yeah.
I think he runs a lot of it, I think. This ain't a UFC podcast, so I don't know.
Yeah, but that was always my understanding. He was just like the face, like no... He didn't do a lot. Like I said, I could be wrong. But with how a lot of his quote-unquote athletes act and are, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of authority there, but, you know, that's their cup of tea. Like you said, we're not a UFC podcast, but you figure you got to touch on it a little bit. You know, the brother-sister now. TKO.
Which one's the brother? Which one's the sister?
Well... That's a tough one. I mean, Dana can be a girl's name, so I'm gonna make UFC the sister.
Okay.
Just fairness sake. But what I was getting at earlier though, because let's see, we did the Vince McMahon is in trouble podcast, and we did the Vince McMahon retired podcast, then we did the Vince McMahon might come back and sell the company podcast, then Vince did come back podcast. It's looking like he could be forced out of his role.
Which would be hilarious.
Out of everything he did, like, you know, that would probably kill him. Like, they say that there's some people, like, I don't know if those listening would know, but Joe Paterno, the former Penn State head coach, like, 100 years old. Coach for, you know, 90 of those years, and the moment that he had to, you know, be forced out because of the Sandusky allegations, he died, like, within a month. Some people just like that. But, it was reported on an SEC filing that Vince McMahon may have to leave WWE. You know, of course, he's still under investigation. A search warrant was served and executed, of course, on July 17th. Based on those infidelity...
Wait, again?
No, that was July 17th. Oh, okay. That was the initial one.
Oh, okay.
Infidelity since 2006. You know, McMahon, now after the merger, has 28.84 million TKO shares... valued at $3 billion. Just a little pocket change. A little pocket change. Apparently, it's being said that registration filings done by TKO and notes, it enables Vince to avoid lockup period that applies to other TKO stockholders like Endeavor and Silver Lake. And according to something from August from SEC, filing note on McMahon that alongside two other TKO executives, they'll be selling stockholders in this offering. And this would indicate McMahon's eventual departure from the company. So literally, Vince left the company, came back, and is going to leave again, not having to go to jail, not having to do anything. And because he would sell the stocks, I'm assuming, he'd leave $3 billion richer.
Well, that's America for you.
And then on top of that, TKO itself has commented on it. In a regulatory filing, Vince McMahon's membership on our board could expose us to negative publicity, no shit, and or have other adverse financial and operational impacts on our business. His membership also may result in an additional scrutiny or otherwise exacerbate the other risk described herein. Any of these outcomes could directly or indirectly have adverse financial and operational impacts on our business. Things are not looking good for Vince. Either way, it looks like I'm going to go here and I'm going to say probably by the end of the year, he's going to be out of power again, it seems.
Yeah, I think so.
Whether that's being forced out or whether that's TKO being nice and letting him sell, or Endeavor, I guess, being nice and letting him sell his stocks and kind of ride off into the sunset like the bastard he is. I don't know.
Well, there's what's probably going to happen is, like, this happens a lot in like in the police and I think even like education and stuff like that. I'm sorry, I'm super fucking sick right now. Is that like people don't get fired or like let go right when they're in like that type of position. It's like, well, you can resign and you can keep all your benefits. I feel like that's something that will happen. So Vince gets to keep whatever like benefits you'd have in his contract.
Yep.
You need to keep all that. So
I mean, and my only hope is with everything, and I know it's cool on the internet to hate on, you know, the booking, and we'll get into it a little bit later, but the releases that have happened under the Triple H quote-unquote umbrella, I just hope that whatever, if anything else comes out about Vince or whatever he does, because you know he's going to fight tooth and nail until the end, it doesn't impact what Triple H, Paul Levesque's done. I mean, yeah, he makes some mistakes. Don't bury the fucking guy because his father-in-law is awful. I don't think it would happen. But there's always that little bit of, you know, if something does happen to Vince, are they going to look at Triple H like, your dad did that? You going to do that?
Fucking...
But...
The Rock just tweeted out a picture of Dolph Ziggler, like, yeah, all of his accomplishments. Like, was Dolph and The Rock, like, BFFs here? Like, John Cena did the same.
I know John and Dolph are close. And that's why at the one Survivor Series when Roman couldn't make it, he was sick or hurt, or I think maybe he's in trouble because of steroids. I don't remember which time that was. But, Dolph was the one that, you know, helped beat the Authority, and that was apparently because of John. I guess bringing him up, safe to say that, as I said, some people don't like that Triple H has no quote-unquote loyalty. Because, you know, he doesn't keep everybody signed to the company. Because, you know, companies don't release people. Like, yeah, layoffs are awful. But I'm sure you know as well as I do, when a big, there's a new TV deal. SmackDown's going to be on USA Network. I'm assuming Raw and NXT will go somewhere else. There's rumblings of Disney. There's, you know, there's always rumblings of everywhere. When something big like this happens, there's usually layoffs. People were upset when WWE and UFC merged, TKO, and there were some WWE releases. A lot of those people in the offices, yes, it's terrible they got released. Their jobs would have been redundant. You figure some things within marketing, within advertising, both companies had. So, you know, they had to pick one or the other. That kind of yeah, it happens. Same thing happens with talent. And everyone was all worried. And, you know, the anti-WWE people, floodgates opened up. Oh, is this where AJ Styles gets cut? Oh, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn lost the tag team titles. Is this where they finally get fired? Oh my goodness. Are we finally gonna, you know, is everyone Triple H hired gonna get fired again? Ooh, that's what Vince would do. Ooh, Vince is such a dirty dog. He's gonna spite his son-in-law. There was releases today. You touched on, in my mind, the biggest one. Dolph Ziggler. Been with the company long time. Multiple heavyweight titles. Multiple tag titles. U.S., Intercontinental, Money in the Bank, had probably one of the loudest, if not the loudest, Money in the Bank cash and pops of all time. Of course, started, I believe it was I don't remember if it was Spirit Squad first or Kerwin White's Caddy first. But he was both a member of the Spirit Squad, and when Chavo Guerrero was Kerwin White, you know, white is right. If it ain't white, it ain't right. He was his golf caddy.
Oh.
Yeah, but okay. You forgot that.
Yeah.
But Dolph's been there a long time. It's been, what, 3-4 years? He's been vocal about not wanting to be there. He's kind of like a modern-day Kevin Nash, where he's like, I don't want to be here, but the money's so good. And they let him do whatever he wanted, you know. He could do his stand-up comedy. He'd come back in and have a match with Goldberg, disappear for a while. Come back, win the NXT title. Beat Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker was real hot. Lose it back to Spear for a while. He's finally released. A lot of people are saying that he's going to go to AEW because his brother's there. I mean, maybe. The guy's 45. He's had a Hall of Fame career. He's had a Hall of Fame moments. He's probably just going to do a stand-up. Maybe try a little bit of acting. Maybe just hang out with, you know, Cardona and Morrison while they wait for The Miz to get endeavored so they can all be friends again on the Major Wrestling Federation. Because, I mean, if Ziggler can get released, then Miz can at one point, right? Because those were supposed to be the two WWE lifers.
Well,
because they did whatever they wanted for them, or whatever the company needed.
This might be an unpopular opinion. I might get "quote unquote" canceled for this.
Okay.
I think long term, Miz is the better superstar here.
I think
Miz is a lifer. They'll keep him around forever. He'll get a Legends contract at one point. I don't think he's ever getting released.
I think your wording there is on the head, superstar. Because wrestling wise, I mean, Dolph is better than a lot of guys in WWE, better than a lot of guys in AEW. I saw it on Twitter where he's going to look, if he goes to the indies, he'll look like a god between his look, what he can do, all that.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it ends. I mean, I've always found his promos a little bit cringy. I don't want to talk bad about the guy in the day's release, but again, I don't think he really cares. I've seen a lot of GIFs of like people at the beach, and it's like Dolph Ziggler when he got the call. Sure, it sucks, but I also think Dolph's one of those, and he's not going to hold a grudge. And if they're like, hey, we need a body for the Royal Rumble, all right, I'll be there. Hey, we need someone to come in and do something. Okay. Or vice versa, AEW, hey, your brother kind of sucks. Can you come team with him? Okay. On Impact, hey, we need someone to fight Cardona. Okay. I think my comparison to Nash is perfect because he just loves the money. He really doesn't give a shit. Next on the list of future endeavors is Elias, who the biggest thing that blew my mind today, I don't know if you saw, revealed that he was Ezekiel.
Oh, no.
Kayfabe's dead.
It's over.
It's over. I thought it was his brother. I thought they were going to have a family band, like the Partridge Family or the Osmonds.
So Kevin Owens was right.
Kevin Owens is right. And Fred, those two old-timey references, those are for you, pal.
Don't talk to my dad like that.
We're buds. We're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, Elias is gone. A lot of people are upset on Twitter. You made your unpopular opinion about Dolph. I'll make mine about Elias. Never really cared for him. At all. At the slightest. I was confused how he got to have a Mania and a Raw After Mania moment with, like, Cena and Taker.
Yeah.
I didn't think... I mean, he had a look, sure, but it was like Macho Man at 95 look, so... And it was cool. I always like a musician gimmick. I think they're a little played out. I think what he did with it was great. I not like Ezekiel at all. I hated it. I thought Ezekiel was one of those gimmicks we've talked about where I know wrestling fans are expected to play dumb to some things, but that one was a little much. Credit to Kevin Owens. You did what you could. Last I saw for Elias, he was actually getting baptized. I don't know if he'll continue wrestling. I don't know what he'll do. I mean, again, he had a career himself. He had a number one album on iTunes. Like I said, he had the Cena Taker moments. I don't know where he ends up. I don't know if you send him to AEW and you have him do something with Jeff Jarrett again. I don't know if... I don't know what you do with him, really. I mean, he had a look, but I don't remember him being anything like special in the ring.
Not really, no.
And then, if we're going to talk about one musician act, I guess we talk about the other that's cut. Mr. Rick Boogs.
I think Rick Boogs was a lot better as a music act than Elias.
Oh, yeah. I thought he's a lot better music guy. I think if he hadn't have gotten hurt, I'm almost certain him and Shinsuke would have won tag titles. Like, they were over. And purely by Boogs playing guitar and Shinsuke doing his fucking dances down to the ring. And they were fun, and I mean, Rick Boogs had a lot... I think he's my biggest surprise on this list, because he did a lot of advertising for the company.
Yeah. I feel like he never really recovered from that injury, though. He was always...
No.
This wasn't the same after that.
I'll be curious to see what he does. He's one that I could see pop up in Impact, pop up in NWA. I don't think he'd go to AEW. I could be wrong. But I think I see him at an Impact NWA level. Another kind of notable release. I just found out a couple days ago how to properly say his name, so I'll try and do it here. Mustafa Ali. I always thought it was Mustafa, my bad, but it's Mustafa. He was big. He was big in the the 205 Live division. He had that moment where he was a leader of Retribution. He had that moment where they played like the race card for a good way. Like, oh man, I was always looked down upon. Then he came back to NXT, and he's supposed to fight Dominic Mysterio at No Mercy, which is like this Sunday.
Not anymore.
Yeah, what do you do? Is this a, like, who they do that? They've done this with someone before. Where they fired him, or sorry, terminated the contract, but they still had like a match to do. The Drake Maverick?
I think.
Yeah, I just don't see Ali doing that, though, because he's been pretty vocal about his spot. And, you know, I know a lot of times I'm the sour grapes on here. I'm the one that's like, it's not that they were booked poorly. They're just shit. I do think this guy was booked poorly. I don't think he's as good as he thinks he is. But I think he did have a lot more to offer. I wouldn't be surprised seeing him go to New Japan, AEW, even Impact in the X Division. He's got a lot he can do. I just can't wait, whatever company he goes to, how quickly they're going to do like a Retribution joke. Like, oh, this is the Retribution of, and then whatever his name is on screen. Ha 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 ha, yep, so funny. There's a chance, because doesn't Ring of Honor have Mercedes Martinez signed?
Ring of Honor?
Yeah. The former, she was the lady. Yeah, I mean, I could see them putting them together. I could see him teaming with Shane Taylor on the indies. I mean, hell, even Mace, who we'll get to later, got released. A lot. I think Mia Yim is the last one from Retribution on the roster, and she was released and got brought back.
I have no idea.
Dijak's still there. Dijak's still there. Good for you, Dijak. I forget you're still there. Good job, buddy. I guess bringing them up, we got to go to the next ones. The male models got released. Mason Mansoir. I think they did really well with what they were given. Like, when I first... I thought it would be awful. And then you figure they pulled LA Knight from the group, and then they pulled the lady from the group, and it was just... They still did good.
They're okay.
Mansoor, of course, was Mansoor. He was the first big signee... I don't want to say it wrong and look awful. Oh, yep. He's a Saudi Arabian professional wrestler. Oh, yeah. The first Saudi wrestler to compete in WWE. Pretty sure he had a couple big moments at, like, the greatest Royal Rumble. Oh, yeah. He actually won the 51-man Royal or Battle Royal at the Super Showdown.
Hey.
Good for him. Andy defeated Cesaro at Crown Jewel.
Hey.
Wow. But after that, he didn't really do much. He did a brief storyline with Ali, and then he did the male models. Mace, on the other hand, was an announcer for a bit. He stood up to Brock Lesnar, which was really weird to me, considering... I know he had some developmental stuff, but I'll be honest, I didn't know he wrestled until he stood up to Brock, and I'm like, why is he doing this? Then he was a part of Retribution, which I lined. And then he did this. Apparently him and Mansoor are, like, really good friends, so that's good. Maybe they'll show up somewhere. I'd love to see an indie match with them and Fandango and Tyler Breeze. And then it would just be them posing the whole time. Nothing really positive, nothing really negative. How much longer did people really think they were going to continue doing that gimmick?
Forever.
Yeah, no. Next on our list of releases, the one that probably hit me the most, Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin used to be one of my favorites to use on SmackDown Here Comes the Pain and SmackDown vs. Raw because he had that super kick. My dad hated it. He also hated the T-bone suplex because you could hit it from anywhere. And I beat him with Benjamin quite a bit. So shout out to Shelton. Shelton's had another Hall of Fame career. I mean, Intercontinental title, U.S. title, he's the gold standard. He won tag championships, Charlie Haas, probably one of the more, even as well as they were and as remembered as they were, I still think one of the most underrated tag teams of all time. Like, what they could do in the ring, who they were paired up against, they were phenomenal. Had matches in Ring of Honor. He ended up coming back. I know his original return was derailed because of injuries. And then I believe he came back and teamed with Gable. And then kind of went to the Hurt Business. And there's been rumblings that there's going to be another Hurt Business. I told you, I think this is a case of when he was signed, he was probably given a big contract.
Yeah.
And they looked at it, and they're like, you know, we don't use you on Raw and SmackDown a lot. We don't really have a spot for you. You're older. Not really going the Hurt Business route, even though we are. We're just doing the Street Profits instead of you and Cedric. Sorry. We're going to let you go. I think he definitely shows up in AEW or Ring of Honor. The only question is, does he join Blackpool Combat Club? Or does he join the Embassy? That's my prediction. He's going to end up in one of the two stables. I don't know if he's got enough of a connection with Regal, because I know that's the kind of tongue-in-cheek thing with the Blackpool Combat Club, to join it, or what. But I definitely think Benjamin will have a last couple good years of his career, wherever he's at, and he can end up being a trainer. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we see a World's Greatest Tag Team reunion. I know Charlie Haas showed up in Impact for a cup of coffee and looked real good, so I'm excited to see that. I'd pay money to watch him on the indies.
Yeah, I would too.
And then we have Top Dollar. Who here said Top Dollar got released? Anybody? Shut up, Cricket. At Damn, Cricket's a fan of Top Dollar. Nobody else is, though.
You can say that. Top Dollar is now making no dollar.
I don't even know what to say. Because I've never liked Hit Row. I know Top Dollar kind of it has become a meme because of Michael Cole. Good on him. But I'm surprised because there's two left now, right?
Of Top Dollar?
No, of Hit Row.
Oh, Hit Row?
B-Fab and...
that's, Top Dollar's the guy.
Yeah, Top Dollar's the guy.
Okay, yeah. Man, you know, I do a wrestling podcast. I don't even know who Top Dollar is.
He's the big one. Like, but
he's the one that couldn't go over the top rope, right?
Yes.
In the meme.
But, yeah, I think there's two left.
Yes, the girl and the...
I wouldn't be surprised if B-Fab ended up managing. You know, they kind of worked as a superstar valet combo. I mean, a lot of people think that there's going to be more releases tomorrow. I don't necessarily believe that. They did what they normally do. They announced the main roster, then they did NXT later in the day. So I think B-Fab made it through this round. I like what I've seen in the ring from her. She doesn't do a whole lot of wrestling. So hopefully it continues. But yeah, Top Dollar gone. Now these next two, I guess, I'll announce together because lately they were on screen together because they are a real-life couple. Riddick Moss and Emma.
Wow.
I know that you were a big Emma fan in college. I don't know if that's carried on to now or not.
Not really.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you got upset because Paige was one of the DLC characters. And Emma wasn't, I think. Or maybe even Emma was, and I said, who the hell cares? And you're like, well, I care. They had a good match. And now, I don't think you like either of them.
Nah. Who the hell cares?
I think Emma, this was just a case of wrong place, wrong time. The WWE Women's Division, as much as people like to shit on it, it's pretty good. Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. So it's hard to really gain a spot, gain any traction. Emma was brought in when H was bringing back all his people. I honestly think this is one of those situations where they let her go because she could do more. She was an Impact Tag Team Champion for this. I think she could go to Ring of Honor. I think she could go to AEW. I think she could go back to Impact. Or even NWA with the NWA Women's title. She's really good. I just don't think she was on the level of the Lynches, the Morgans, the Belairs, etc. Then you have Riddick Moss, who, within the few years he was with the company, Bruce Pritchard always talks about a box of gimmicks. Riddick Moss was that box of gimmicks. Lately, he was Emma's kind of sad sack boyfriend. And you know, he was Mad Cat Moss. He was Happy Corbin's guy who did all the laughing as Mad Cat Moss. I'm pretty sure he was Mojo Rawley's lineman. He teamed with Tino Sabatelli in NXT. He did a lot. He was also in the Raw Underground segments. He, like I said, there's a lot that he did. Was any of it great? No, probably why I got released. Yes. Someone had to say it.
You know, the body's not even cold yet.
I usually when I talk about these, they're not.
Let's do a podcast about these releases like 2 months from now and make it feel better.
Next, we have Aaliyah, who talked about hating her spot for a long time. I do find it funny that after her and Raquel lost the tag titles, she did not appear on WWE TV.
Well, what was her spot? Did she even have a spot?
Like I said, her and Raquel were women's tag team champions. Remember that?
No.
Yeah, poor Raquel Rodriguez has had some history with the ladies' tag titles.
Yeah.
But yeah, Aaliyah was actually a women's tag champion, so good for her. Nothing positive or negative to say, just whoever wants to take that toxicity into their locker room, go ahead. Then, you know, Dana Brooke's kind of been with, she's been on the back burner of the company for a long time. Again, she's one of those that always does what's asked of her. I remember when she managed Titus Worldwide. No? Remember she was with Emma and MVP?
No.
No. Remember when she was Mini Charlotte? A little bit? No. Remember when she had the 24/7 title and she tried to make it a real title? And honey, that's just not going to happen.
Honey, that tells you nothing for your eyes.
Yeah. Dana Brooke, I wouldn't be surprised if she showed up in Impact. She's good in the ring. She was undefeated for some time in NXT, if I remember correctly. She just, nothing she did in the main roster really clicked. And when it comes to other, Shanky, who, you know, was the guy that danced, I hated the gimmick. I know people loved it. Hated it. He got released. Avocado, who was also Baba Tunde and Commander Aziz, also released. His thing was that he was big. He was put in the big battle royals and Royal Rumbles. He was Apollo Crews backup for some time. Hey,
that's about it.
And then besides that, you had a list of NXT people no one really cared about. Alexis Gray, Ventura Cortez, Danny MacArthur, Ulyssa Leon, and Bryce Montana, and Quincy Elliott. Now again, nothing against these people, but if you're not on TV a lot and something's obviously an issue, I don't think you can blame booking in NXT. It's a developmental territory. Look how long they kept someone like Angelo Dawkins. No, he was there for quite a long time. Just constantly improving. So if you're not improving, they're going to release you like all these people. Unless you're Quincy Elliott and just scum. Not going to get too much into it, but if you want to look at Twitter, it explains why he's an awful human being. Or I don't remember. Either way. Awful human being. I'm not proud to say, but I did send you a list of people I thought would be released. I nailed some of them. Kind of learned the MO. There were some I was shocked weren't released. I'm not going to say who. I'm not going to be that person. I've seen enough of that on Twitter today. It's kind of frustrated me. A, the people who put fake links and are like, oh, this guy's fired. And of course, it's never like John Cena or Triple H where you can be like, haha, funny. It's, you know, Chad Gable, Baron Corbin, people who still have families, still trying to, you know, keep their jobs, people who tweet like that are dickheads. But then the people who will directly tweet at someone and be like, why weren't you fired? They'll tweet pictures of someone and be like, wow, this person still has a job? It baffles me. People are that big a piece of shit.
That doesn't surprise me. Wrestling fans are usually pretty shitty.
Yeah, wrestling fans are some of the worst. And of course, like I said, I talked about it earlier, Triple H has no loyalty by letting all these people go. None of these people, except Ali, are doing anything. And Ali was so vocal. It's kind of like the last round of cuts, when everyone's like, oh, why'd FTR get cut? Ah, they were vocal and they wanted to be gone.
Did he request the release and got denied?
Yeah.
Was that him?
Yeah, that was. As a wrestling fan, would you rather a superstar you say you liked, because when this kind of thing happens, everyone comes out of the woodwork and goes, oh, I really liked that guy. No, you didn't. You didn't like Rick Boogs. Shut up. But as a wrestling fan, when this kind of thing happened, would you rather your guy have to sit in catering for months, but you know that they're getting a paycheck? Or would you rather them show up in Impact, NWA, Ring of Honor, AEW, New Japan, AAA, AJPW, any of them, and be given a fair shake? I mean, look at the people like Matt Cardona. Look at the people like Fred Rosser, the former Darren Young. they're doing great things on the indies and in other promotions. Look at Deanna Peruzzo in Impact, one of their mainstays in the women's division. Look at Heath Slater on Impact. Look at the laundry list AEW has of people that they brought in that weren't given a fair shake at WWE. This is, I mean, it's redundant to say, but this is a time where, as a wrestler, it's okay to be released. And then look at someone like Drew McIntyre. He was released, went to Impact, won the heavyweight title, came back to WWE, won the heavyweight title. Just because your favorite superstar is released today doesn't mean they're just gone forever. This isn't the early 2000s.
They're gone. They're gone forever. They got deleted from the game. Not allowed to play no more.
And look at someone like MVP. He was gone for quite a long time. He was in New Japan. He's in Impact. Came back. Boom. WWE TV. And like I said, these releases are sad. They're upsetting. But my other pet peeve of this is that everyone acts like this started like a couple years ago. I remember back around the time that the Sandman got released. This is like a yearly thing. They release at least a handful at this time every year. And a lot of times I remember looking at the WWE articles online and it would be like, ah, Too Cool Scorpio was released. And I'm like, wait, Too Cool Scorpio is with the company again? Or, Nick Dinsmore, formerly Eugene, was released. And I'm like, whoa, when did he come back? This happens. This isn't new. I just think social media's made it where people are able to see everyone that's released. And they're able to respond to it in real time. Like I said, it's bad that it happens. But it's not the end of the road. Unless you're pretty bad at what you do, like Top Dollar.
Poor Top Dollar.
No, not poor Top Dollar.
I can't talk today, so I gotta use all the sound effects I can.
Alright, you figure a pretty big... How long has the merger been? A week?
Yeah, about that.
It's officially been TKO.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've already got some office releases, some wrestler releases, potentially Vince leaving. Dana White hates it. Curious to see, you know, a year from now what happens. I'm curious to see if our prediction about Vince McMahon comes true. Curious to see where these wrestlers go. But, you know, with all the winds of change, you know one thing that stays the same? Being able to find us wherever you find your podcast. But we ain't going nowhere.
We're not getting Future Endeavor anytime soon.
Nope.
Unless Logan Future Endeavors me and changes the password and everything. That's about it.
So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast. Google Podcast. Uh-huh. Wherever you listen to your podcast, even if you do one of those third-party ones, I sometimes Odyssey. Google our... Yeah. I Google our name, and I'll see us on some random one. I'm like, all right, there you go. We also have our YouTube. If you're not following our social medias, what are you doing? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Threads. If you want to see more content besides podcasts, you know, some tier lists... You want to see some older videos of ours. You want to watch our PWP World Cup, where we do all the commentating ourselves. Go to our YouTube. All you gotta do is search Pro Wrestling Proverbs. Want to support us? We got an Etsy store. Shirts, shot glasses, hats, jackets, stickers, pins. Everything that you need to show that you read our scripture. You can even buy a copy of Logan's Scripture. Ask for that for Christmas. Holiday's coming up.
We gotta do a Christmas sale.
But yeah. Keep listening. I mean, hopefully this was the last...
If you buy Logan's Scripture's notebook, he'll write...
his own scripture on your personal life. I know.
There we go.
He'll fantasy book what the rest of your life should look like. If he doesn't like you, I don't know.
But hopefully this is the last one that we touch on Vince McMahon. Or if there is one more, it'll be that he's done. I just find it funny that with each one, I'm like, ah, oh, man. And to bring so-and-so up again. And the Bray Wyatt event, tragic. CM Punk events, hilarious to me. Vince McMahon events, I'm finally rolling my eyes. But, you know, until next time, and Anthony Tolpin, hopefully feeling a little bit better.
That's damn kids.
This has been Pro Wrestling Proverbs. As he said, we are not future endeavored.